Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to January. I say welcome even though it is the 13th because this is my first live one. I just got back on the weekend. Been gone for a month, so Nicole's been awesome doing repeats and what have you. We always thank her for all of the work that she does behind the scenes to get this all out to everybody. But it is my first one for January. And when I asked Nicole what is the primary theme and all the questions that come up, she said, well, deal with depression and anxiety. That seems to be huge. So as much as we have a gardening component and then we have a medical component, we will also have a nutritional component and then get to the questions. So we have a lot to cover today, and I've made it obviously the theme throughout that we're dealing with depression and anxiety. So let's see how we'll start. When we are thinking, okay, establishing how or sharing how to grow gardens, what to do to prepare your gardens, what to do with the Christmas and windowsills, etc., this time is going to be quite different because all I'm going to do this time is look at the herbs that you can grow in your garden that are incredibly healthy, helpful for you if you happen to suffer from depression and anxiety. Now, they're good for all kinds of other things, and I do bring that up as well, but let's go through just a few really easy-to-grow herbs that you can grow in your garden. In fact, some of them can even be grown in the house. I start, as much as I normally do things in a very alphabetical order, I'm very linear in that way, I did start with St. John's wort this time. The reason being is I think the most common herb that people associate with depression and anxiety is, in fact, St. John's wort. If we go to Germany, one out of two prescriptions for depression is, in fact, St. John's wort. So it's well-recognized and well-utilized in Germany, but around the world. Now, historically, actually, just as a side note, it was used for a number of other things, and in particular as an antimicrobial. You used it for infections. But today, the most common use for it, if you want, is for depression, especially the milder forms of depression. You can make it into a tea and drink it. You can also take capsules, birth control pills, or that's not what I meant to say. I read that while I was talking. You can take it as a capsule or a tea or a tincture is what I meant to say. However, you have to be careful because it can interfere, in fact, decrease the effectiveness of birth control pills and hormone replacement therapy, and it can also interact with other medications such as blood thinners. So do be careful. Really easy to grow. It grows in a wide spectrum. I think it's from zone 4 to zone 10. It doesn't need a whole lot of watering. It can grow in almost any soil. It's kind of like a weed. So go to it. But there are, besides St. John's wort, there are some other ones that are well recognized for use with depression and anxiety. In fact, there's a whole slew of them. So I was looking for ones that are easy to grow in the garden that you might want to work with. So the next one I chose was chamomile. There's both a German and an Italian chamomile. It's the German one that you want. The German one is an annual one, whereas the Italian is perennial. But it is the German that you want, and chamomile tea. People often use that to help them sleep or just to calm them down. Also, remember, it can act as a blood thinner, so be careful if you're taking either natural or synthetic products for blood thinning. And if you're not used to the program, I always use synthetic for the pharmaceutical, big pharma kind of drugs, because they are synthetics as opposed to the real thing. Chamomile does like the full sun and a soil that isn't too rich. You can start it indoors by just scattering and pressing into the soil tray, a tray with soil in it. And now I put 10 days, but it's anywhere between a week and 2 weeks that it takes them to germinate. When you plant them in the garden, you want to let them dry between gardening. And in fact, when you water them, water them when they're in the tray, the soil tray, just spray them with water. Don't actually water. Use a spray gun and just gently spray them. They will grow to about 2 feet high, and you want to use both the flowers and the leaves. Now, the thing with chamomile, the leaves are really bitter. So if you find it too bitter, then just cut back on the leaves and use the flowers. Once the flowers have opened, you can use them fresh, you can use them dried, you can use them whatever you like to do. It does grow like a weed, and it helps whether you use it as an inhalant, whether you use it as a cream or a spray. For about 40, actually that was supposed to be for lavender. Today, my goodness, I'm all over the place. I'll explain why that is a little later. Okay, the next one is lavender. Lavender, I'm thinking, chamomile doesn't grow like a weed. Why am I saying that? Lavender grows like a weed. It's incredibly easy to grow lavender, and you can help it. You can use it either as an inhalant, a cream, or a spray. The thing with lavender is there's an 80-20 rule. About 80% of the population find lavender very helpful, very calming. It's they use it for sleep. People will put it in pouches to put under their pillows to help them sleep, etc. However, there is a group of us, and both myself and my mother were one of them. It acts as a stimulant. Typically, when lavender, at least this is what I've found, actually I haven't looked at the scientific research for it, but I think, if you enjoy the smell of lavender, it will act as a calming herb, and it will be useful for sleep. If you don't like it, I don't have scientific evidence. It's just a few people I know that don't like lavender, like me. I can't stand the smell of lavender, and it works as a stimulant. Shoot, if it's anywhere in my bedroom, I'll be awake all night. I used to grow a lot of it just because it fills up the garden so well. And I have a friend that loved lavender, and she was always making things for people. So I cut this one year, I cut a whole bunch of lavender and took a tour to make different pouches and creams and whatever for what she thought I was giving it to her to make something for me. And she was so sweet. She brought me all these different things to put in drawers, to put in my bed, to put on lavender cream, whatever. But why are you giving me this? I gave it to you because I can't. Damned it. she has to take it and give it to other people. So just know that. Lavender grows like a weed, really easy to grow, but percent you obviously don't want to use it for depression, to calm down. Now, if you're lethargic, if you have a very lethargic depression, it can help to stimulate you if it reacts to you like it does for me. Reacts for you. Okay, let's move on. Another one is rhodiola. I love rhodiola. It is an adaptogenic herb, which means it supports and strengthens your adrenal glands and thus helps you to deal with stress. It's common to Russia and consequently, again, has a good hardy capacity for growing in all the hardy zones that dip below freezing. I see a spelling mistake there. The seeds can be stored in the fridge for about 6 weeks, and that will help to germinate them. So some seeds, when you start them, you need to heat them up. Some you need to put in the fridge. Some, you know, do a variety of different things depending on where they're naturally grown. Well, it is wildly grown in Russia, so put it in the fridge to help germinate them. Again, spread them out on a tray and just tamp them down lightly so that they're just very, very lightly covered with soil. And again, use the mist from a spray bottle to water them. They will take about 30 weeks to germinate in a temperature about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. I did put the Fahrenheit in. I don't know why I'm not using Celsius like we all do. But anyways, then simply separate into containers after the second leaf forms, then you can go out and plant it in the direct sunlight. Okay? They do like a more clay base or a sandy soil that drains well. And I thought that was interesting because clay doesn't drain well. But if you look up the research on it, it says clay or a sandy soil that drains well. So I can't go beyond that. That doesn't make sense to me. I put it in sandy soils personally. I added in the clay when I read that. Okay, rosemary. We all know what rosemary is, I'm sure. You love cooking with it. And it can't get easier to grow. You can grow it in your garden. You can grow it in your hothouse. You can grow it in your windowsill. It lasts all year round. You can use it in all your cooking. It's awesome. It's great as an antidepressant as well as an anti-anxiety. But in addition to that, it's actually an antioxidant, it's antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory. Don't know where the uncle went. It's all anti. I love that joke. I say that all the time. I don't know why. Well, I do. I love it. Anyways, it's good for your memory. A lot of people take rosemary when they're studying for exams because it helps your memory. You can easily make it into a tea. With this one, I always bring it to a boil and let it boil. So many things I say bring to a boil and then let it simmer. You don't want to harm the compound. But with rosemary, to pull it out, you tend to need to boil it for a while. But apart from that, some studies, and there's a variety of them now, first one I ever saw came out of India, which is interesting, but some people find that just smelling rosemary can help improve their cognitive performance and their mood. Okay, so that's a really good one to know. Thyme, another one that is so easy to grow. There's 1,001 varieties of thyme. I think I have 6 in my garden. It does help to stabilize mood. It also helps with sleep. It's also an antimicrobial, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, particularly an antimicrobial for the upper respiratory system. Another one that is a hardy perennial, you can grow it in a pot in the yard, or you can keep it in your hothouse or in your windowsill. And it can be harvested year-round, especially if you keep it inside in colder climates. If it gets too cold, it will die off and then just restart. Like many herbs, it can be used in your cooking. It can be used as a tea, a tincture, or an oil, or a supplement. You can actually get thyme supplements. I've never bought them, but I know they're out there. Valeriana. Well, valeriana is kind of like lavender. There's an 80-20 rule to it. It grows about 4 feet tall. It has a pale pink or white flower and long green leaves. But with valeriana, it's the root that you want to use medicinally. So when you plant it outside, and it's easy to plant, you just take a piece of it and it'll grow. You want to be able to plant where you can access the root. Obviously, you don't want to take all the root. You wait for it to extend and then take a piece of the root so it will keep going and going and going. It can grow anywhere between full sunlight to a light shade, and it does like a well-drained, compost-rich soil. So where I have my valeriana growing is one of the areas, if you've heard my talks on growing, it has the organic horse manure, the organic chicken manure, the rabbit manure, the green manure. It has all the really good, rich stuff, and it grows wonderfully well. It is a mild antioxidant. It's a mild antidepressant and anti-anxiety, and it's also used for headaches and as a pain reliever. It's like chamomile. It's good for digestion and the digestive tract, and again, it's a perennial, so it's nice and easy for you. Okay, so that's the deal on gardening. We only focused on gardening with regards to depression and anxiety. Again, just a quick, if you don't go into the site, St. John's wort, chamomile, lavender, rhodiola, rosemary, thyme, and valeriana. Although there are a huge number of others that could be used, I just chose those because they're all so easy to grow in your own garden. And you can make them into teas. Okay. So that's it for the garden. Now we have to move on. I have to find what screen do I have this on. I think this is the switch. Let me just see here. Oh, dear. One of my screens isn't cooperating with me. There we go. Okay, so the article obviously is depression and anxiety and you. Okay, so let's go through this. We all probably all know people who either claim or conversely try to hide depression and anxiety, especially if they're on medications. But there is a variety of different definitions for anxiety and depression, and there are many types and causes of depression. Even back in the 90s, some of us understood that depression could be caused from nutrient deficiency or heavy metal toxicity. Again, it's like I was fighting the college. This, don't you guys get it? Anyways, by 2005, there was an increasing amount of data indicating the role that gut bacteria played a huge role in depression. In my book, I think I published it in 2010, Depression, the Real Cause May Be in Your Body, I discuss a huge number of causes from the body that could cause depression. Now, psychologists will teach that unless it's the thyroid, you have hypothyroid that the doc, MD has to diagnose, anything else is caused by how you interpret and respond to the world, how you perceive, interpret, organize, and respond to the world, your value systems, etc., your underlying life things. It's all incredibly psychological. Well, that may be the case, but from my perspective, it's usually less than 30% of the time. You want to look at all kinds of other issues. So I thought for a long time, I said people that came in for depression, some of them, I just got up and got to do exercise, you know, walk to the end of the driveway and back, walk to the end of the street and back, walk down to the general store and back. And as I increased their movement, it actually eliminated the depression. And I was doing that back in the early 90s for crying out loud. Some people I sent to nature paths, some people I sent for colonics, depending on what was going on, what their diet was like, what their prescriptions were, et cetera. I was looking at everything, even just as a psychologist. But because I wasn't trained in those other areas at that time, I sent them to other people. And I got in trouble for that, too, because it wasn't evidence-based medicine. It works 100% of the time. So I fought psychologists on that as well. Actually, at one point, offered, when I had my PhD in nutrition, I offered to come in and teach what nutrients the brain requires so it can function properly. And no, they weren't even interested in that. Okay, so let's get on. So if it wasn't hypothyroid, then it could, had to be purely psychological, how you grew up, what you learned, et cetera, et cetera. And I was, like I said, nonsense. There's all kinds of information on a variety of antidepressants that are also known to cause depression, nutrient deficiencies, heavy metal toxicities, and other types of toxicities, organ dysfunction from the gut to the liver to the adrenals. For crying out loud, there is so much in your body that can cause depression. Do not make the assumption that it's all to do with your mindset and what you grew up with and what you learned. A big thing, I think I wrote this somewhere in here, when I was dealing, and about a third of my practice for about 20 years, was dealing with depressives. And I would say the majority of them were not depressed. They were frustrated. There's a big difference between being depressed and being frustrated. You do not go on medication for being frustrated. Further, what they taught back then and still do, that the if it's chemical, which is what your psychiatrist will look at, it's because of low serotonin level. Well, 98% of your serotonin is actually made in the gut and is too big to cross the blood-brain barrier. So if you're taking antidepressants, which are looking at serotonin, is dealing with it in the gut. Let's deal with the gut and solve the gut issues. I mean, there's just so many things that come into this that really pissed me off when it came with dealing with people with depression. The mind-body connection is absolutely huge. The different organs and systems in the body is huge. It's one whole system. You have to look at the entire system. For instance, I saw depression that as one person had for years, on and off different types of antidepressants. It was a magnesium deficiency. All I did was increase the magnesium, and we eliminated the depression. And there's so many different things, and some of them are just so incredibly simple. When I was in Bangalore and in Cochin in India, in the hospital, there's this big philosophical conversation afternoon because Dr. Holly loves philosophy. remember, and psychology, and we were looking at the difference in understanding of consciousness and the mind and awareness and all these different, you know, concepts that I just love dealing with. And they just laughed at the Western world and how backwards. In fact, they would say, you know, it's like they're in kindergarten. They haven't got it figured out yet. It's amazing. Yeah, that's why there's so much depression. Anyway. One of the common causes of depression that's even recognized in psychology, golly gee whiz, is a reactive depression. Now, usually that's in response to, say, you've just lost a loved one or you've lost your career for some reason or, you know, something big like that that you have lost. Then you can have what's called a reactive depression. Later on, but more so in the 90s, they started to recognize you can have a reactive depression to a diagnosis. That you're dealing with, certainly when you're dealing with a lot of pain. But in today's world, we have a massive amount, I think, of reactive depression, reaction to what's going on worldwide, not just in the U.S. The U.S. is huge with all the crap going on between the Democrats and the Republicans, but worldwide in terms of finding out how much CCP has infiltrated around the world, how much different big families and organizations, institutions have controlled finances. The degree to which we have, 90%, I thought it was just North America, but apparently not, 90% of information worldwide is controlled by six people. It's like, holy cow. Start looking into all the lawsuits against them and whatever. They don't care. They want control. So, consequently, we have a mass amount of misinformation that is impacting hugely. And we've gone over this many times, how lockdowns are worse than the cure is worse than the disease, as the old saying goes, along with masks. These lockdowns are causing huge problems and causing a lot of depression and anxiety. The masks themselves are causing huge problems. The reason is this. Let's look at the mask first, because that's such an incredulously simple thing. It reduces the amount of oxygen in the body and increases the carbon dioxide, which is toxic to the body. The body breathes that out. When you get too much of it in your system, you create toxicity, you create acidosis, you create problems. Brain uses 20% of your body's energy. You need that oxygen. Wearing those masks depletes the oxygen and increases the carbon dioxide. Golly gee whiz, that has a huge impact on the mind. It has a huge impact on the body. It has a huge impact on your brain, on depression and anxiety. Just that alone. And I didn't put that in the article. Nicole actually sent me an email saying, how come you didn't connect this? Well, we always come at it from different perspectives. I'll put it in verbally and then rewrite the article later so it's in the article if you want the article. But that is huge, okay? Wearing those friggin' masks not only increases the pathogenic load on your lungs, so that if your immune system is in any way compromised, your respiratory compromised, your cardio system compromised, you have diabetes, any one of those things, and those masks do a heck of a lot more harm than good. Secondly, again, let me emphasize this, it decreases the amount of oxygen to the brain. And again, the brain uses 20% of your body's oxygen. Why would you want it decreased? And on top of that, it increases the carbon dioxide, which is tremendously toxic and causes acidosis. Now, apart from that, we have the lockdown, golly gee whiz. How many different types of lockdowns do we have around the world, from partials to full lockdowns? What do the lockdowns do? Well, they cause, holy cow, they cause unemployment. If you're an entrepreneur, are you in bankruptcy? Are you headed towards bankruptcy? Are you struggling to keep your head above water? Again, with the lockdowns, the lockdowns now from a different perspective, they cause loneliness. They cause isolation. So many families in the house, because they're stuck in their house with their partner 24/7. It's causing divorces, for God's sake. People that aren't used to having their children there 24/7. I mean, after the summer months, people can't wait to get their kids back in school. But the children. Having to deal with your children 24/7, trying to deal with online education, not 24/7, but, you know, throughout the week. the children in and of themselves being incredibly frustrated. Children have a tremendous abundance of energy normally, and yet they're confined to their homes. All these different things can cause a huge amount of stress and frustration, which then can evolve into depression and anxiety. Family conflict. This is a big one. I'm hearing this all the time. The people who believe the false news versus people that believe what's called the false news. I definitely have my bias there. I listen to all the alternative sites. I only listen to what's really false news to get an idea where they're coming from, what they're attacking, and what nonsense they're promoting and marketing. I go by the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. But ultimately, all this distress, family distress, financial distress, social distress, I didn't put in their physical distress, not having the normal types of movements that we have, those combination of distresses can cause depression and anxiety. And here is where I wrote in, feeling frustrated is not being depressed. When you get to a point where your frustration leads into despair, that's when we go into depression. But I would assume for most people at this time, it's still about being, I would hope, most of us, being about frustration. If you've gone to the point of despair, then you have to be really much more worried about actual depression. Again, frustration, depression have very different profiles. We work with them very differently. So I encourage you to look at, do you feel depressed or do you feel frustrated? Okay, now I did go off to the side here in from a psychological perspective because, and this is thanks to one of my mentors that I really enjoyed, Psychology. I mean, I've done a lot of reading on it besides that, but I always enjoyed the way he put it. But human beings, as much as we can categorize and organize and label and define whatever in so many different ways, we could say the basic underlying tenet is how do you manage your pain and how do you manage your pleasure? Two simple things. How do you manage your pain and how do you manage your pleasure? Okay? Now, most of us, not everyone, but most of us do enjoy our pleasure. But pleasure can actually go sideways. It can become narcissistic. It can become obsessive or addictive. It can be exhausting and end up being very dysfunctional. But in this case, what most of us are dealing with is pain. How do we manage our pain? And with the type of pains that we're looking at is, and I didn't even put all of them in there, but physical, mental, emotional, social, and a big one for a lot of people is financial. If it's not managed properly, it can go awry and cause not only depression and anxiety, but obsessive behaviors. A lot of people use self-medication behaviors, street drugs, illegal drugs, alcohol, etc. But pharmaceutical drugs can also become addictive. Or the people that use those types of dysfunctional ways to manage their stress and pain can become very dysfunctional, okay? So in a world where we have all this dysfunctional stress and anxiety, this stress, we need to really work hard at managing our distress effectively. So what are our options? So we'll get into some basic stuff, and we'll also go into habits as well. Basically, what do we need to do? Well, we need to eat healthy. We know the gut and all our probiotics can impact hugely on our thoughts, our emotions, and our behavior. So we want to begin with healthy eating. Now, that's one of the many reasons. Like right from the, well, I have been for 5-6 years now, but from the beginning of March, when this whole, quote, COVID journey started, I've been pushing people to really focus on growing your own gardens, eating your own foods, making sure that your food is highly nutrient dense and doesn't have all the toxicities. Good, healthy, nutrient, toxin-lacking food will support and nourish both your mind and your body and your brain. I think of the mind and the brain being two separate components. Your mind, to me, is in your energetic field, whereas your brain is actually a physical structure. You want to make sure that you provide it with really good stuff. you want to increase your immune system. So you want to eat your pre and probiotic foods. So if you don't know, your prebiotic foods are mostly your fiber foods that transport and feed the probiotic food or the bacterial, the good bacteria microbiota in your gut. So foods like Granny Smith apples. Now recognize with apples, they're a huge continuum. The soft, sweet apples don't have near the nutrient as the hard, tart apples have. So remember that. You want to eat things like raw carrots, not cooked carrots, raw carrots, broccoli and cauliflower and beets, all your good probiotic foods like cabbage soup and salads and sauerkrauts and kimchi, your good healthy yogurt, your pickled and fermented foods. You want to eat your herbs, lots of garlic and onion, turmeric and ginger. They're all phenomenally good for the immune system. If necessary, you can take extra supplementation like vitamin D3, your B complex and zinc, all incredibly good for your immune system. Your immune system is designed not only to protect you from this COVID nonsense, which a lot of people say is just influenza A and B, predominantly, but your immune system protects you from all the retroviruses, the coronaviruses, as well as the influenzas. In addition to that, your immune system has a huge impact on your mood. Remember we said the bacteria in your gut, which interacts tremendously with your immune system in your gut. Remember we've said, depending on the variable you're looking at, anywhere between 72 and 92% of your immune system is in your gut. That is hugely interactive with the microbiota, the bacteria in the gut, or your probiotics. Okay, so those two systems are incredibly intertwined. We need to support both of them. So you eat the foods, and you can take supplements like vitamin D3 and B complex and think, what I should have put in there is if your immune system is down, the number one thing to take as a supplement is transfer factor. Make sure you've got a good one. I use the one from 4Life. I think it's one of the, if not the best in North America. It is a phenomenal transfer factor. And they have a variety of different ways that you can take it, from pills to chewing it to drinking it, and for a number of different issues right through to cancer. Okay, your immune system is not only huge and interactive with your bacteria, your microbiota, but as we've said so many times, it has a huge impact on how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. That has been proven extensively. So take care of your diet and take care of your gut if you want to eliminate depression and anxiety. Another variable, think healthy. When you are overrun and establish habits of negative thinking, you deplete your immune system, you deplete the energetics in your body, you deplete your physical energies, and your system migrates to a depleted way of operating. Remember, every thought you have is an energy pattern. So whether it is in your self-talk, what's going on in your head, whether it's in conversations with others, whether it's with your humor, it doesn't matter. Remember to be positive, to be uplifting, to be encouraging. It has an impact not only on your mind and body, but on those around you and on the world at large. Don't use critical, childlike criticisms with people in your humor. Don't be condemning and negating in your humor or in your conversations. You need to be positive, supportive, uplifting, encouraging. Those have positive energies that actually help to support our body's capacity to function physically. Remember that. You want to behave healthy. Even if you're one of the many who are frustrated with whatever type of lockdown you may or may not be under, you want to move. Your body is designed to move. I don't care whether you're dancing in the kitchen or the bedroom or the living room, if you're doing yoga, if you're doing isometrics, if you're stretching, get the body moving. Now, I say that normally. Whenever we're sitting in front of the TV or in front of the computers, and I do sit a lot in front of the computers, every hour on the hour, half hour is even better, get up, do your stretching, get your body moving. Your body is designed to move. sitting down all day in front of a computer or in front of a TV or playing games, whatever, is not healthy. You want to eliminate that depression and anxiety? Get up, move, breathe. If you can go outside, go for walks, go for bike rides, go for hikes. I don't care what it is. Just move. Another component is music. What is the music you're listening to? There's all kinds of musics out there that are very distorted, have very been shown to have a negative impact on your body. You either want music, if you have an agitated depression, that is calming and soothing and supportive. Or if you have a lethargic depression, then you want music that is enjoyable. That'll get you up and dancing and moving and enjoying life. Those are hugely important. The next component, what you listen to, not just in music, but on the news. The news is so incredibly depressing, especially if you're listening to CNN and NBC and ABC and blah, 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 blah. You don't want the fake news. If you're going to listen to news, make sure you're listening to news that has substance to it, that it's not contorted, that it's not misinformation or disinformation or eliminating information. Okay, now... I'm always trying to encourage you, use your intellect, objective perspective, critical analysis. Get in there, start thinking, start weeding out the crap. You can use this very incredibly frustrating time in our history to actually develop those things. Okay? To what degree is the station that you're listening to controlled by Big Pharma or controlled by CCP or controlled by some other component? The real thing. Next. Be social. Social isolation is a great way to end up with depression and anxiety. Now you say, yeah, but Holly, I'm in lockdown. Okay, fine. We have phones, we have Skype, we have a Zoom, we have a variety of different types, FaceTime, what have you. You have a variety of different types of tools to interact with others. Make sure you're doing that. Social isolation is known to cause depression. Get out of that secluded, isolated way of operating. Get involved with people. Hugely, hugely important. And, of course, in addition to what I just said, preferably people who are positive and supportive and encouraging and uplifting. It doesn't mean you have to keep your head in the sand. You can still understand what's going on in the world around you. But you want people that are positive and supportive and encouraging and validating and acknowledging. Those are usually positive things that keep positive energies going. Beings having a physical experience. That's an old, old statement, and it's one that I quite agree with. So whatever your belief system happens to be, make sure it is a source of strength for you. Whether you're praying, which to me is talking to whatever your perception of God is, whether you're meditating, which in my mind is listening to whatever your perception of God is, or you're connecting with other life forms. There's tons of people out there that believe that there's all kinds of different life forms to interact with. I would love to, but I've never had the opportunity. Other than Tom on the other side, I will admit I've got that, if you've heard. But you want to develop your greater potential. Don't just sit back and say, okay, I'm good enough the way I am. That is the worst lazy man, immature way of operating. You have a tremendous capacity, greater potential. With all the lockdowns, with, you know, rather than going into depression and anxiety and playing the victim role, use it as an opportunity. Develop your greater potential in any arena of life. In all arenas of life, if you've got the energy to do so. Because doing that is uplifting. Doing that supports you to move forward. It expands the mind. It expands your energy. It puts you into a positive place. For those of you who may be very depressed or confused or what have you about what's going on right now, there is a beautiful interview. Actually, I listened to it twice this morning because I just loved it. It's by Robert David Steele. And you can go to his website, robertdavidsteele.com. And this particular one, he discusses the latest updates, not only within the U.S., but the implications around the world with Nicholas Vianen. And you can listen to it. He has a beautiful understanding. He tells you exactly where he's coming from. He tells you how and why he has the information that he has. And it is not only challenging to realize how many, for those of you who aren't aware, how many different levels of corruption that we're dealing with, but he brings it in such a way that it's uplifting and it points toward what is coming. And I loved it. So if you're depressed, full of worry and concern, go watch Robert David Steele talking with Nicholas Vietnam. And again, you can go right on to robertdavidsteele.com onto his site, and he has a whole list of videos there that you can listen to. But this one either came up late last night or early this morning. I listened to it this morning, and I sent it out to a bunch of people. Are you listening? This is a really good one. Okay. Now, I want to believe the things that Robert is explaining. I will put that up front. That is my filtering mechanism. I want to believe. I've been working with behind-the-scenes stuff for quite a while now. And I have a lot of information. I can't believe how many videos and programs I watch and read every day on all this stuff. Trying to bring it into a positive place. Trying to orchestrate energies and bring it all so that we move forward. So I do have a lot of it, but I'm like everybody else. I love people that agree with what I say. I think most of us do. But as I said before, I'll also watch the alternative just to figure out where they're coming from and what I need to do to look at, to explore even further. So, and I actually forgot about that. I put that old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer in there. So I don't want to have my head buried in the sand, and I don't want to have a Pollyanna kind of perspective. I want to have all of it and then move forward. Now, you may say, but thanks, Dr. Holly, but I've lost my job. I have no income. I have to put food on the table, pay the rent, blah, blah, blah. How do I deal with that? And you know what? My heart does go out to you. But the challenge is, if you cave in under all that stress, if you move into a victim place, if you come from a place of depression and anxiety, you're going to be of no help to you or your loved ones. You have even more reason to be strong. Hook up with friends, relatives. Hook up with associations and volunteer groups. Help others to help themselves. Whenever I'm sending people off, I don't care whether it's an AA program or a food bank program, or, I mean, there's 1,001 different types of programs out there. If you need to take from that program, make sure you're also giving into that program. Because when you help others, you help yourself. Not only that, in this particular time, you may also connect with people who can give you a different kind of job, who can give you a paying job. But you'll be connected with people who are of service, people who are like-minded, who want to grow and develop and be the best they can and are helping others. And again, when you help others, you help yourself. So you do have a choice. You want to not only survive, but thrive. Now, life is not always easy. Various people have various different types of conflict and stress and issues for varying lengths of time. But let's go back to our premise of mankind. How do you manage your pain? How do you manage your pleasure? If you learn to be aware of what you're doing and you recognize that you have a choice when you're managing your pain or distress, whether you're frustrated or depressed, you can choose to be a survivor and then a thriver. Because choosing to be a victim doesn't help yourself, doesn't help your partner or your kids or your parents or your family or your friends or anybody else. That's hard love, but it's true. So again, my message to you, keep your heads up. Look towards the light, if you will. Keep abreast of the situation. Eat. Think. Behave in healthy ways. And I'll send out the very best of energies, thoughts, and wishes to everyone. But let's pull it all together and make sure that as a joint group around the world, we don't just survive, we thrive, and we will get there. Okay? Now, I have another article for you, number three. For those who are dealing with depression and anxiety, what about other food options? I talked about in the gardening, I just talked about herbs like the St. John's wort and the lavender and the chamomile and the thyme and the rosemary. But let's look at other foods that can actually be of help to you if you are reacting with depression. Number one, actually, by the way, don't forget, I do have a book. You can go to drhollybooks.com, and there's a book on depression, the real cause may be in your body. I'm going to go into chocolate now, and guess what? I have a book on chocolate as well. Chocolate has over 1,400 compounds in it, 300 actual nutrients that the body requires. Eat good, healthy chocolate. I always suggest at least 80% chocolate. We don't want the sugars, and we do want all those healthy omega-3 fats that are in the chocolate. So chocolate is a must. You only need a little bit, and you want it to be more bitter, and people say, oh, I won't eat that dark chocolate. It's too bitter. But when you keep all the fats in it, it's not near as bitter. And you want those healthy fats. Remember, what companies do is they extract those omega-3s. They send it over to the nutraceutical companies. They put it in supplements, and you go into the store and buy it back from them. Like crazy. Eat the whole thing in the first place. But when we're dealing with depression and anxiety, we also want to make sure we have lots of antioxidants to counteract all those free radicals in our body. So I've made a list. What are some antioxidant foods? Well, you've got your beta carotenes, like your apples and broccoli. Apricots, broccoli, actually apples are, I should have put that in there too, cantaloupe, carrots, remember, raw carrots, collards, peaches, pumpkins, spinach, sweet potatoes, your vitamin C-rich foods, blueberries. Now, blueberries do have a lot of sugar, so as much as they're incredibly antioxidant, they do have sugar, you've got to weigh that. Broccoli, grapefruit is great, but also can interact with a lot of medication, so be careful of that. It increases the group of P450 enzymes in your liver, so make sure you know that. Kiwi, red peppers have to be phenomenally great for vitamin C. Make sure you use them in your salads and in your omelets and in whatever. Potatoes, make sure you get good, healthy potatoes. Strawberries, make sure that they're homegrown. Strawberries, like coffee, have a compound that attracts all the toxins in the soils. So you don't want commercial strawberries, you want your homegrown strawberries. Tomatoes are phenomenal. Most people like tomatoes, but did you know that we don't have the enzymes to break down the membrane in tomatoes? So if you want tomatoes, you got to do like the Italians and the Greeks, cook it, make it into a tomato sauce, into a tomato paste, into a tomato soup, whatever, and then you get even more nutrients out of it. Vitamin E-rich foods, well, your nuts and seeds and wheat germ are all great in vitamin E. Now, when it comes to your carbs, there's a huge difference between simple carbs and complex carbs. Your simple carbs are the ones like your potatoes and your rice that quickly turn into sugar. So be careful of that. And there's a lot of fruit that's high in fructose. Fructose spiking is very hard on your liver. And your liver helps support your brain. So if you don't want depression and anxiety, you don't want the sugar in your gut, and you don't want it in your liver. Eat low-sugar fruits, lots of vegetables, legumes, and whole grains. Protein-rich fruits. Now, tryptophan and serotonin are hugely related to stress and anxiety, depression and anxiety. And you can get the amino acid tryptophan from foods like chicken and turkey and tuna. But I'm always saying to people, get all your amino acids, both the essential and non-essential, get out of a good hemp oil. Lots of crap hemp oil out there, so make sure you do your research. We've done lots of articles on that. You want really good hemp oil, and that will have all your amino acids. Okay, vitamin B-rich foods. Well, vitamin B is really important for all kinds of things, from the methylation cycles in a cell, which are involved in about 80% of what a cell does, to making your RNA and DNA, from making red blood cells. It's just, if you're making energy. We've often said this, you need magnesium 180 times, and about 70% of those times that you use energy, you need vitamins B1 and 2 and 3 for the Krebs cycle, for the mitochondria, blah, blah, for your mitochondria to make your fuel in your cell. So you need to have good B rich foods. And where do you get your vitamin B's? In things like legumes and nuts and dark green vegetables and low fat animal foods like fish. Now, one of the things I will put up again is we used to always say eat your salmon. Well, number one, you don't want your farmed salmon because that's GMO salmon. But you do want salmon, and yet, you know, the farmed salmon is predominantly on the Atlantic side. On the Pacific side, we get it high in radiation because of what is still being dumped out of Japan since 2011. So what do we do instead? Well, if you have steelhead trout, that is the lake component, or cousin, if you want, to saltwater salmon. So we, whenever I see steelhead trout in the store, I buy lots of it and freeze it, and I make sure we eat lots of that. That's for dinner tonight. Okay. And I also recognize that your brain should be about 70% fat, your DHAs, your ALAs, your EPAs, et cetera. Fats are hugely important to the brain. In fact, your brain, like I said, should be 70% fat. So if someone calls you a fathead, say thank you very much. That means I have a good, healthy brain. It's also important for serotonin functioning. So how can you get good, healthy fats? Wow. I would say there's 1,001 different oils around the world that you could be getting, and there's lots of different ones that are used for different things, and you can get really into all your wonderful oils and what have you for cooking, for essential oils, for what have you. But if you're looking in the kitchen, there should be three oils always in your kitchen in Western society. Your avocados and avocado oil. Avocados have about the same ratio of omega 3, 6, and 9 that our body has. So it supports what your body needs. Coconut. Coconut oil does have short chain fatty acids as well as the long chain fatty acids, but it also has lauric acid, which is found in very, very few. I don't know. I'm sure there is, but personally, I've never looked at it. We have found any other food that has lauric acid in it. And lauric acid, as opposed to the omega anti-inflammatory nutrients, lauric acid is antimicrobial, has been known to work with different types of herpes, different viruses, different yeast infections, just all kinds of different things. So you want to make sure that you have your coconut oil, good for infections. Hemp seeds and hemp oil is really good because the hemp, as we just said, has all your amino acids, both the essential and non-essential. So yes, it does have the fiber in it. Yes, it does have the omega-3s in it. But even more importantly, from my perspective, is it has all your amino acids, which are, you know, if you think of Lego, it's your building blocks. You know, Lego, what is there, 12, 14 different pieces? But, you know, if you have a bunch of them, you can make almost anything. Well, that is what your amino acids are in your system. You have over 10,000 enzymes. You have all your different types of connective tissue. You have your neurotransmitters. There's just so many different things in your body, your bones, your, I said connective tissue, bones, ligament, cartilage, tendons, your membranes around the around different vascular systems, etc. They all require your amino acids. So your hemp oil becomes hugely important. And if you're a vegetarian, 10 times more important. Okay, nuts. Oh, other seeds, flax, chia, pumpkin, squash. I should have put sunflower seeds in there as well. Fats and for your amino acids. Your nuts are also great for your fats as well. Walnuts, cashews, Brazil nuts, hazelnuts, all phenomenally good. When you're dealing with depression, these are important nutrients that the brain requires, that the liver requires in order to help support the brain, that your blood vascular system needs in order to get the oxygen to the brain, et cetera, et cetera. So these are important foods that are healthy and help to eliminate depression. I have seen way back, we did a bunch of studies, review of studies that showed just chocolate in and of itself could alter depression and anxiety, and that's not only because of the neuropeptides that you actually find in chocolate, but I think it's also because of the magnesium that you find in chocolate, as well as all kinds of other nutrients. So what do we need to avoid? Well, the number one thing to avoid is sugar. Whether it's the fruits that are high in fructose, whether it's the simple carbs turning into sugar, whether it's your baking and ice cream and all your other crap junk foods that are loaded with sugar, get in the habit of reading labels. It doesn't matter whether it's the artificial sugars or the real sugars. We have way, 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 way too much sugar in the diet. It gets into the blood. It causes all kinds of things. We've talked about this before, from the AGE to the amyloids to all kinds of stuff. Those things are huge in contributing to depression and anxiety. So cut out the sugar, people. It's toxic to the gut, it's toxic to the body, and it's toxic to the brain. And I just realized it's 12:56. Holy cow. So much for questions. I have the questions apparently left over. Nicole was telling me from the last one I did before I went to Mexico, which was the first week in December, I guess. And she gave me a bunch of questions today. I haven't gone over any of them. So we need to do a question period where we just focus on questions. Sorry about that. But this session I thought was really, really important in terms of depression and anxiety, whether you're growing the herbs in your garden, understanding depression and what you can do with your food, your diet, your thinking, your behaving, your socializing, and being part of the solution, not part of the problem, choosing not to be a victim, but rather choosing to thrive and then choosing to survive and then to thrive, connecting, being part of the system, and then what you can eat just in your kitchen. All of these things. And go with the mask whatever. You don't have to, obviously. If we have to abide by law, we have to abide by the law when we have to. But at all times that you can avoid wearing a mask, please avoid wearing the masks. If it's just getting outside on the balcony in your yard, whatever, get out and breathe fresh air. Our houses are hugely pathogenic heavy. Get out, open up those windows, get fresh air in, get out, move, move, move. And we eliminate depression and anxiety hugely. We eliminate frustration hugely. You can do it. I know you can. I have faith and belief in you. Together, let's go forward. Together, let's be part of the solution. Let's choose together to survive and then to thrive. On that note, if you want to go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca. I'll take you to my other website. It'll give you all the contact information, et cetera, over 900 articles, blah, blah, blah. With you next week. Goodbye.